And now we enlighten you with Ayah 260 to 263 of Surah Baqarah, recited by Shahriyar Parhizgar.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ أَرِنِي كَيْفَ تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى قَالَ أَوَلَمْ تُؤْمِنْ قَالَ بَلَى وَلَكِنْ لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي قال فخذ أربعة من الطير فصرهن إليك ثم اجعل على كل جبل منهن جزءا ثم ادعهن يأتينك سعيا واعلم أن الله عزيز حكيم مثل الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله كمثل حبة أنبتت سبع سنابل في كل سنبلة مئة حبة والله يضاعف لمن يشاء والله واسع عليم الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله ثم لا يتبعون ما أنفقوا منا ولا أذى لهم أجرهم عند ربهم لهم أجرهم عند ربهم ولا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون قول معروف ومغفرة خير من صدقة يتبعها أذى والله غني حليم
In the name of Allah, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. And when Abraham said, My Lord, show me how you revive the dead. He said, Do you not believe? He said, Yes indeed, but in order that my heart may be at rest. He said, Take four of the birds, then cut them into pieces, and place a part of them on every mountain. Then call them, they will come to you, hastening, and know that Allah is Almighty and All-Wise. Those who spend their wealth in the way of Allah, and then do not follow what they have spent with reproaches and affronts, they shall have their reward near their Lord, and they will have no fear, nor will they grieve. An honorable word with pardon is better than a charity followed by a fund, and Allah is all-sufficient, most forbearing.
Welcome once again, dear listeners. Let's take a look at what's coming up your way in the next hour. We begin with the latest news. Stay informed with the top headlines and major developments from across the globe. Following the news, immerse yourself in the ocean of dua with Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi. This reflective program explores the rich spiritual traditions of Islamic supplications and ziyarat, drawing from revered collections such as Mafatih al-Jinan. Each episode features insightful commentary on selected prayers, including Dua-i Komail, Munajat Shabaniya, Dua Abu Hamza Somali, Ziyarat Ashura, shedding light on their meaning and the spiritual guidance they offer. After that, we return to radio productions for another segment of curated content, spanning a wide range of thoughtful and engaging topics. To close the hour, we turn to insights into the Holy Quran with Hujjatul Islam Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi. This program takes listeners to verse by verse through the Quran, offering concise yet profound interpretations that illuminate the divine message and draw out practical lessons for everyday life. Coming up next is news. Please stay with us.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Iran hailed the Syrian youth resistance, calling their fight against Israeli incursions a legitimate response to aggression. Hezbollah leader says the group's arsenal is the only force capable of deterring Israel's expansionist ambitions. And people in Venezuela say they are determined to defend their nation in the face of intensified U.S. military activities in the Caribbean. Hello everyone, thank you for joining us here on Blue World News. Our top story, the Israeli regime has drawn a chorus of condemnation for a deadly incursion into Syria that killed 20 people, including children. The Syria's foreign ministry denounced the attack on a Damascus suburb as a brutal massacre. It also said the Israeli forces resorted to indiscriminate shelling after failing to advance on the ground. Iran's foreign ministry has also condemned the killings in southern Syria, with ministry spokesperson saying, "Resistance of Syrian youth against the Israeli assailants is a natural and legitimate response to the act of aggression." Ismail Baghaei also slammed the inaction of the UN Security Council in the face of Israeli violations against the sovereignty and territorial integrity of regional countries, including Syria and Lebanon. Earlier, Hamas and Palestinian Islamic Jihad, as well as Qatar, separately condemned the raid on the Syrian town of Beit Jin. And Syrian civilians injured in Israeli forces' attack on Beit Jin were transferred to Damascus for treatment at an area hospital. Listen to what some had to say about the situation they witnessed.
"Attempted to detain men from the village, but residents resisted and clashes erupted. The troops pulled back, but returned with airstrikes and heavy shelling. They bombed several homes and the mosque. Some lost their lives and others got injured.
At 3 in the morning, Israeli forces stormed our village, trying to seize one of the young men. We resisted, and there were dead and wounded. At 6 a.m., after they withdrew from Beit Jin, we moved toward a damaged vehicle, and they opened fire on us. Then came the airstrikes, planes, artillery, rockets. I was hit by artillery fire and got injured. This wasn't the first time. 4 or 5 months ago, they took 7 men from our village. So now, whenever they come, we resist. After pulling back, they returned with planes and rockets, striking the village. They attacked from the air with heavy machine guns, helicopters, drones, mortars, raining fire on us.
We opened fire at the Israeli patrol to defend ourselves and prevent them from arresting us. My brother was martyred, and I got injured.
The hospital has received 16 wounded. 5 members of one family arrived dead. Earlier, 11 injured were brought in, among them a woman who did not survive. 2 patients remain in critical condition and are now in operation room."
As well, the Secretary General Sheikh Naim Qassem has condemned Israel for the assassination of Hitham Ali Tabtabai, vowing the resistance group will retaliate.
"The expression and the stance which I am announcing against the martyrdom of the Mahdi Sayyid Abu Ali, may God bless him and his comrades, this is a blatant aggression and a clear crime, and it is our right to respond, and we will determine the time for this."
Speaking at a memorial for the late commander, Sheikh Qassem said that regional and American intelligence services provide the Israeli regime with information which allows it to operate comfortably in Lebanese territory. He said ceasefire is a victory for resistance, adding Israel failed to eliminate the resistance and was instead forced into an agreement. Naim Qassem stressed that Lebanese state is responsible to ensure Israel's withdrawal and deploy the army in the south. And he also said the resistance weapons liberated Lebanon after decades of occupation and remain the only deterrence power against Israel's expansionist plans. Qassem also said the U.S. and Israel are trying to strip Lebanon of its defensive capabilities, indicating the real threat lies in Israeli expansionism and not Hezbollah's arms. The Gaza ceasefire agreement has not stopped Israel from launching attacks on the Palestinian territory. Regime's military has killed over 350 Palestinians since the truce took effect on the 10th of last month. Now let's cross over to our correspondent in Deir Abula, Gada Ibrahim, for more on your Gaza update.
Yes, exactly. The Israeli occupation forces have committed hundreds of violations against the ceasefire agreement. And these violations are actually deadly and causing more bloodshed on the Palestinian side. A short while ago, two Palestinian children were killed in the eastern parts of Khan Yunis city in Benisela area as a result of the Israeli fire that was directly targeting the people's homes and shelters behind the so-called yellow line. Again, these violations, these attacks are very repeated and non-stop since the first day of the ceasefire agreement until now. And since yesterday, until this moment, we are still hearing the Israeli fire, gunshots from the Israeli vehicles behind the so-called yellow line in the eastern parts of Gaza City, in the eastern parts of Deir el-Balah, and also in the eastern parts of Khan Yunis City. Yesterday, one Palestinian man was announced killed as a result of an attack in the same circumstances. Today, two Palestinian children. So every day, more attacks are taking place. More casualties are still falling victim to the Israeli attacks. Since the beginning of the U.S. brokered ceasefire, more attacks are taking place also in the eastern parts of Gaza City, the areas like Al-Tufah neighborhood, Al-Sha'af, and also in the north of the strip like Jabalia and Beit Lahia areas. These areas are subjected not only to the Israeli fire, to the Israeli artillery shelling, but also to the Israeli operations of demolishing. They are demolishing or leveling to the ground what is still remaining in this area, what is still standing of the houses or the infrastructure or the neighborhoods in these areas in order like to make the people unable to go back to their areas or to go back to their homes in these areas in particular. Again, Khan Yunis city was subjected to very heavy artillery shelling since the early hours of the morning and also to air strikes as well that are ravaging the eastern parts of the city and are actually demolishing or leveling to the ground what is still standing in the eastern parts of Abasan, Benisheila and Al-Qarara areas. So as we are witnessing nowadays, the Israeli occupation army is not actually showing any commitment to the ceasefire agreement, causing more bloodshed on the Palestinians. Since the beginning of the ceasefire agreement, we are talking about at least 355 Palestinians killed as a result of the Israeli attacks. More than 900 Palestinians were injured as a result of these attacks as well. So what we understand here, that the situation is really tense on the ground. More casualties are coming to the hospitals of the Gaza Strip, and the hospitals in all the Gaza Strip are still experiencing these overwhelming vibes because of the shortages they are experiencing and because of the sheer volume of the casualties resulted from the Israeli genocide or the two-year-long genocidal attacks on the Gaza Strip, and also because of the continuation of the Israeli attacks on all the areas of the Gaza Strip that are resulting in more injuries coming to the hospitals on a daily basis.
All right, great update there. Thank you for illuminating us, Gada. Stay safe. We'll talk to you soon. Gada Ibrahim joining us from the central city of Deir el-Balah and the besieged Gaza Strip. Meanwhile, the United Nations says the violence by Israeli forces and settlers in occupied West Bank has surged over the past 2 years, leaving more than 1,000 Palestinians dead. It says there's almost been no accountability either.
Our office has verified that since the 7th of October 2023 and up until the 27th of November of this year, Israeli forces and settlers killed 1,030 Palestinians in the occupied West Bank, including East Jerusalem. Among these victims were 223 children.
Lawrence also cited recent disturbing incident in the city of Jenin, where Israeli forces were filmed shooting dead two Palestinian men trying to surrender. UN has already called for independent, prompt, and effective investigations into the Israeli killing of Palestinians and for those responsible to be held fully accountable. The hundreds of Israeli soldiers backed by armored vehicles have recently been carrying out sweeping raids in the occupied West Bank, largest military deployment there since last month's ceasefire in Gaza. Joining us now from Ramallah is Naka Hamid for more on the story. Hello, Naka. Seems like every day we're just seeing more and more of an escalation. If they're not ruining homes in Jenin, they're killing and apprehending young Palestinian men and boys. What can you share with us?
Yes, unfortunately, and we will continue to see such escalation because what we are seeing now is not a separated incident. It is a mentality unfolding where this mentality has destroyed Gaza over the last 2 years, and now the same mentality also have been implemented here in many other ways in the occupied West Bank, and it is intensifying. The Israeli regime has declared it loud and clear. They do not want neither a Palestinian state nor the Palestinian presence on this land. So according to these ideas and according to these to this mentality, we will see more even more escalation. This is from one side, and from the other side is the Israeli settlers' horrors unleashing day by day, and these two factors are making the lives of the Palestinians in the occupied West Bank extremely difficult. Let me start by some news from the ground on the fourth day of the military aggression. The five pillars in the northern part of the occupied West Bank, precisely in Tubas, where the Israeli soldiers, the Israeli forces last night have withdrawn from the village of Tammun and from Al-Far'a refugee camp. And by withdrawn, we mean that they have withdrawn from inside these places, not leave it and raise the military sanction over these areas. So they have withdrawn from inside these areas and stayed on the surrounding edges of these two locations and stayed actively in another three locations, Aqaba, Tayasir, and Tubas, throughout the night, have faced many aggressions and many attacks. 29 Palestinians have been abducted from inside Al-Far'a refugee camp, fieldly interrogated, and many of them were assaulted. 27 have been beaten severely to the extent that they have they received medical care in the Palestinian hospitals, and this is more of a policy that is implemented throughout this military raid throughout Tubas. The Israeli forces continues to affirm that the entire Tubas province is a closed military zone. No one is allowed to move freely over there, to go in or out of the Tubas province. And of course, the situation is deteriorating inside. It is just the fourth day of this military aggression, but the situation on the ground is extremely difficult because these locations have been already been targeted before the starting of this military aggression, and these areas are considered to be large agricultural areas, and Palestinian farmers are now not allowed to go to their farms and to harvest their crops and to water their crops because the water is already being cut off the entire Tubas provenance. If we are to stay in the north, Nablus was also under attack throughout the night. Israeli forces raided Nablus and made an incursion to the eastern side. And due to this raid, confrontations happened between Palestinians and Israeli raiding forces. In Jenin, the situation is also tensive, and it remains tensive, especially in the area of Asile al-Hattiyah, to the northwest of occupied Jenin, where, according to local resources, a local made bomb has been blown up in an Israeli force, causing damage to an Israeli military vehicle. The Al-Quds brigades have announced their responsibility for this resistance related operation inside Asile al-Hassiyah. Of course, the entire world have seen the footage of the two young men in Jenin that is getting executed by the Israeli forces 2 days ago.
All right, well, thank you, Naka, for that very thorough update there from Occupied Ramallah, and stay safe, Naka. Naka Hamed joining us there from the Occupied West Bank. The U.S. has been escalating pressure against Venezuela in recent months under the pretext of combating drug trafficking. It's launched airstrikes and boats in the Caribbean and deployed warships, possibly in preparation for military action.
Venezuela has been the subject of intense media attention in recent months as the United States doubles down on its pressure aimed at overthrowing the government in Caracas. In the eastern state of Anzoátegui, an assembly of local leadership meets as part of a process to fortify the United Socialist Party, the PSUV, from the grassroots level.
What the Venezuelans want is peace, prosperity, and we have our own democratic system. We have elections. We are even electing, at this moment, communities and popular power all over the country.
Venezuela held another election on Sunday to vote on local projects at the communal level, which will be funded by the state. And while the spectacle continues on social media, daily routines seem unaffected.
Things are happening. People are going to the beaches. People are going to party. People are working, are studying. But we are also getting ready for any scenario. If the imperialism of the USA tries to attack Venezuela, we'll know how to answer, and we will prevail. Venezuelans, the only thing we want is to be respected, and for the world and for the great powers to respect our sovereignty, to respect our people and our self-determination.
Throughout the country, daily life continues for Venezuelans against the backdrop of the incessant campaign of aggression leveled by the United States against the country as the massive military buildup escalates in the Caribbean Sea.
Governor of Anzoátegui, Luis José Mercado, says while calm reigns, Venezuelans are prepared to defend their nation.
In our state of Anzoátegui, which is part of the Caribbean coastal region of our country, we have entered a period of permanent mobilization. What we have done for these past 3 months or more is carry out intense activity involving military, police, and popular mobilizations. Each of our 205 community circuits has an organization with militia units that have been mobilizing, holding night marches and meetings, conducting training exercises, and carrying out military-style preparations. In Venezuela, the majority of us, the women and men of this nation, are absolutely determined to preserve our independence and our sovereignty.
Venezuela is a country at peace, advancing in its various transformative projects, strengthening its economy in the face of the economic blockade, and guarding its sovereignty. Camila Escalante, Anzoátegui.
And that's it for your latest, everyone. Thank you for joining us here on World News.
ocean of dua.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters in faith, listeners of RIB English Radio. If you're listening to the program, The Ocean of Dua, where we discuss different supplications, their significance, and some of the concepts that we can understand in those supplications and each excerpt and passage of those supplications. In this episode, we want to talk about some of the excerpts and passages of Dua al-Sabah, which means the morning prayer. Let's listen to the first passage of this beautiful supplication, and we'll be right back.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma ya man dala'a lisan al-sabahi binutq taballuji wa sarraha qita'a al-layl al-mudlimi bighayahi bitalajluji wa atqana sun'a al-falak al-dawari fi maqadir tabarruji وشعشع ضياء الشمس بنور تأججي.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. So you just listened to the first passage of Dua al-Sabah, and Allah has taught this supplication to our Prophet Muhammad, and he also taught it to Imam Ali alayhi salam. So this supplication is mostly attributed to our first Imam, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ali ibn Abi Talib. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Allahumma ya man dala'a lisan al-sabah binutqi taballuji. O Allah, O He who extended the morning's tongue in the speech of its dawning. Now here, taballuji, some have translated as radiance, the brightness of the speech of the morning. Now one thing I have to say is that we have limited knowledge and we won't be able to understand and interpret the supplications from our ma'sumeen without relying on Islamic beliefs from the verses of the Qur'an and the narrations. Of course, we have aql as well, we have logic. But at the end of the day, what we interpret might not be 100% correct. We have limited knowledge, and the things we say about these prayers are not 100% correct. Okay, so they might be really, really close to the truth, but they're not 100% accurate all the time. Here Allah is saying, يَا مَنْ دَلَعَ لِسَانَ الصَّبَاحِ بِنُطْقِ تَبَلُّجِ. He extends the tongue of the morning بِنُطْقِ تَبَلُّجِ, the speech of its dawning. We have to pay attention that the supplications that we have from the Ma'sumeen, these are not just like poetry and pieces of prose or poetry, and they contain a lot of symbolic things and metaphors, and they have this beauty in them. No, it's not just the beauty. It's actually the reality. So when the Ma'sum says, لِسَانَ الصَّبَاحِ, it means the morning actually has a tongue, and it actually speaks, even though we can't fully grasp what that really means. Because we human beings, we like to compare everything to ourselves. When we hear lisan, we quickly think about our own tongues. When we, for example, when we read yad or waj in the Quran, some might think, okay, yad means hand. Allah doesn't have a hand. How is that possible?
ليس كمثله شيء. We have to understand it in another way without comparing it to ourselves. What do we do with our hand? A lot of the things that we do is through our hands. So it means the power to do certain things. Lisan means to convey a message, to speak the truth, to show everyone the truth. And that is why we say light also. Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. Allah is the light of the heavens and earth. Does this mean that it's a physical light? Well, not necessarily, okay? So here, nutq means that the morning, this is what it could mean. I'm not saying this is what it means. The morning, first of all, has mantiq. That means it is not something without a spirit. It's not just a physical reality. It's something that truly exists. It has a lisan and it speaks. How does it speak? When it's bright, everyone can see the morning. Everything lights up. It's as if it's speaking to the world. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back and we'll discuss this passage of the supplication of Sabah.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. In the name of Allah, the All-Beneficent, the All-Merciful. O Allah, O He who extended the morning sung in the speech of its dawning, dispatched the fragments of the dark night into the gloom of its stammering, made firm the structure of the turning spheres in the measure of its display, and beam forth the brightness of the sun through the light of its blazing.
Thank you, Allah, now that we're here, feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God speaks with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever.
Brothers and sisters and listeners of Arabic English Radio, this is the ocean of dua that you're listening to. So we were talking about the first passage of the supplication of Sabah. What happens when the sun rises and, you know, it's morning? Why does the Masum say the speech? Because when you say something, everyone can hear it, right? Even if it's dark. This is the quality of Sabah. When it shows itself, it's as if everyone can hear its speech because it's so bright. No one can say, no one can deny that it's morning. And also, another way we can comprehend this is that what happens when it becomes morning, the birds start to sing, all the animals wake up, human beings wake up, we hear all these sounds. So this could also mean the speech of the dawn or morning. We will talk more about this supplication in the upcoming episodes of The Ocean of Dua. Thank you for being with us. I leave you in the care of Allah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Join us in this journey. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Prior to urbanization and settlement of man, humans lived side by side nature. They moved to warmer areas during cold winters and vice versa. Today, not much is left of nomadic life, especially in Western countries. But in some countries, including Iran, nomadic life still continues to thrive and to flourish. Here in North Khorasan province, the Kormanj nomads continue to maintain their ancient heritage, just like their ancestors.
During summertime, many Kormanj nomads move to the plains around the city of Isfarayen. They stay there for more than 4 months. These farmlands are where their cattle can graze off the abundant remains of wheat and barley harvest that usually takes place in early August. The nomads lead a simple but happy life next to each other. This is one of the places where you can truly understand the meaning of togetherness.
The nomads follow a complete natural lifestyle. They are self-sufficient in many things, including many of the things they wear and what they eat, like this fatir bread with a taste of nature.
For us city dwellers, it may be hard to imagine living in conditions like this, but this is how the nomads live. These people are so determined. Life is not a joke around here.
Local sports and games are an inseparable part of every culture. Here in North Khorasan province, there is a type of wrestling which is extremely popular among the people. The locals say that it is one of the most ancient sports in the world. It is a part of every festivity and cultural event. It's known as wrestling with Chukhe.
In addition to Iran, wrestling with Chukhe is practiced in other countries as well, including Uzbekistan, Kyrgyzstan, and the Russian Republic of Tataristan. But North Khorasan is known to be the birthplace of the sport. History has it that Chukhe wrestling was a yardstick by which a wrestler's power and sense of heroism was put to the test. Chukhe is in fact the name of a vest which the wrestlers put on during the match. It is made of a thick cotton fabric and is considered as one of the most famous handicrafts of North Khorasan. North Khorasan is well known for its exclusive handicrafts, which shape a part of the people's culture in this part of Iran. Nargol Heydarian has been awarded several times for her lifetime achievements in reviving some of the forgotten traditional handicrafts of North Khorasan. Nargol currently holds an Academy of Traditional Handicraft in the city of Shirvan. Her goal is to help pass on her art and knowledge to young artists. Traveling around North Khorasan is like soaring among the pages of an old storybook in your dreams.
To the people in North Khorasan, preserving cultural identity is of great importance. That's why, regardless of their age and ethnicity, they spare no effort in passing on their heritage to future generations. I'm Amir Mehdi Kazemi, reporting for Iran. Iran is known for its four-season climate and the climatic variety in each of its regions. This time, the lavender fields of North Khorasan province have invited us so that we could discover a part of natural beauties in northeastern Iran.
This is a land of a thousand colors, with a wild and vibrant nature, where kings and poets have been inspired by its beauties throughout the ages. A place where fountains keep the rivers flowing like the never-ending tales of Shahrazad in the 1,000 Nights and a Night.
From some of the most arid deserts in the world, the habitat of the Iranian cheetah, to the greenest forests, pastures, and valleys, North Khorasan has it all. Here at the Baba Aman Forest Park, the combination of rivers, waterfalls, and the umbrella of sycamore trees have all created one of the most popular summer hideouts for the people in the region.
There are a number of forest parks in North Khorasan, and Baba Aman is one of the popular ones. In spring and summer, Baba Aman hosts the largest number of visitors. At first sight, the place resembles an oasis. What greets you here upon your arrival is the cool, gentle breeze that touches your face. The symphony of the flowing river and the terraced ponds in the middle of the park complete this good feeling. But our trip to North Khorasan is not all about nature. In this amazing region of Iran, there is a little town which could be considered unique, at least in Iran and its surrounding countries. The exceptional feature of this place unveils itself after a short drive in the town's only boulevard.
We have come to a little town in northeast Iran, a town with only 12,000 inhabitants. What is interesting about it is that it has more than 170 shops that only sell dried nuts and dried snacks, such as this one, which is called kashk. It's a combination of dried curd and herbs and spices.
Welcome to Faruj, the region's trade hub for dried nuts, trail mixes, and you name it.
One of the things that makes North Khorasan exceptionally beautiful is its untouched natural environment. Many believe that this region could be one of the main destinations for ecotourists in the near future. A few kilometers from the city of Shirvan, a village known as Gelian testifies to this fact.
We head towards a hidden paradise in Iran's northeast. Gelian, also known as Golian, is one of the 365 outstanding tourist villages of Iran. With a population of no more than 700, the inhabitants of this picturesque mountainous area are mainly engaged in farming and animal husbandry. Gelian is situated in a valley. The terraced structure of the village and its adobe buildings, along with very tall trees, are only some of the interesting features of this place. Some people believe that if you're born in Iran and spend an entire lifetime traveling across this country, you still wouldn't be able to see all the beauties of this ancient land. This may be true, but seeing at least a part of beautiful Iran would still be worth it. Amir Mehdi Kazemi for Iran.
Trustworthy word, oh, Muhammad, oh. was a shining light. The revelation then began. He was asked to read, but he couldn't do so. When he tried, he spoke words so beautiful. It's when he was told he was the chosen one. Salawatullahi alayk.
Insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, welcome to another edition of the program Insights into the Holy Quran. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you, and in this edition of the program, we'll have a look at the contents of Surah Al-Ankabut, or Chapter Spider, the 29th chapter of the Holy Quran. Brothers and sisters, we are to discuss the 37th verse of Surah Ankabut. Let's listen to this verse, and we'll be back with our explanations.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
فكذبوه فأخذتهم الرجفة فأصبحوا في دارهم جاثمين.
But they denied him, so the earthquake seized them, and they became within their home corpses fallen prone.
So, dear listeners, regarding this 37th verse that actually you listened to from Surah Ankabut, you know that this verse is implying that the people of Shu'aib, instead of actually hearkening to the advices of this great reformer, this prophet Shu'aib, they tried to reject him. Now,
Previously, in the previous episodes of this very of explanations and discussions over the contents of this surah, Surah Ankabut, the Holy Quran discussed the story of Prophet Lut, somehow in some aspects and details, and how Prophet Abraham was involved in that too. But anyway, actually, in continuing the stories, the Holy Quran tries to discuss the stories of other nations, other people, and other prophets, like Prophet Shu'aib, the people of Ad and Thamud, also the story of Pharaoh and Qarun as well. So now, continuing the story of Prophet, actually, Shu'aib, that tried to invite people from the standpoint of invitation to the Almighty Allah, the concept of monotheism, and then believing in hereafter and resurrection, he tried to actually awaken their hearts. But in this verse, we get to the answer, and how did people react to this prophet? فَكَذَّبُوهُ فَأَخَذَتْهُمُ الرَّجْفَةُ فَأَصْبَحُوا فِي دَارِهِمْ جَاثِمِينَ. Now, this verse is very firm, because it says, but they belied him. فَكَذَّبُوهُ. So what did happen? فَأَخَذَتْهُمُ الرَّجْفَةُ. And the earthquake seized them. رَجْفَةُ. This Arabic word, رَجْفَةُ, it means shaking of the earth. And the word arajif is used for the news and words which cause instability in the faith and actually spirit of the people. And this word arajif is also used in Persian even today. Also, the word marjuf is used for those who say or write such matters. So, actually, that's the concept of the meaning of rajfa. So the word rajfa means a kind of shaking of the earth. Now, this verse implies that the people of Shu'aib, instead of listening and hearkening to the advices of this great reformer, this great prophet, they tried to reject him. فَكَذَّبُوهُ. And this act of theirs caused that a severe earthquake seized them. And the verse continues saying, فَأَصْبَحُوا فِي دَارِهِمْ جَاثِمِينَ. So the earthquake seized them. فَأَصْبَحُوا فِي دَارِهِمْ جَاثِمِينَ. And they lay deed in their abodes, motionless by morning. So, actually, this verse was actually unfolding the story of the people of Shu'aib. So, فَكَذَّبُوهُ, they rejected their prophet. They did not hearken to the advices of this great reformer. And they tried to reject him. Now, the result, فَأَخَذَتْهُمُ الرَّجْفَةُ, the earthquake seized them. And we must be aware that sometimes the Almighty Allah suddenly turns the situations. Because when the argument is complete, and you reject this complete argument, you reject the obvious signs of the Almighty Allah on earth, فَأَخَذَتْهُمُ الرَّجْفَةُ, there is no other chance in this situation. The Almighty Allah, with sending the prophets, and the prophets with their words and invitations to monotheism and resurrection hereafter, have completed all the argument you needed. And now you reject the result. فَأَخَذَتْهُمُ الرَّجْفَةُ. There is no actually time and interval between their rejection and this rajfa and this shaking of the earth. We must be aware that sometimes these shakings of the earth are not some natural events that might actually interpret them as the movements of the layers of the earth, that's the apparent thing happening and going on. But what is lying under it, what is beneath it, are some of the actually actions that we have done. فَأَخَذَتْهُمُ الرَّجْفَةُ فَأَصْبَحُوا فِي دَارِهِمْ جَاثِمِينَ. So it is not also improbable that this meaning refers to the fact that at the time of this severe earthquake, they were asleep and suddenly they got up. And as soon as they sat on their knees, the event did not give them respite. And by falling down the walls, which was accompanied with that fatal earthquake, they lost their own lives. فَأَصْبَحُوا فِي دَارِهِمْ جَاثِمِينَ. And they lay dead in their abodes, motionless by the morning. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this episode as well. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Until the next program, take care.
Things always worked for me, and that's when faith begins.
When the whole world is silent towards oppression, even one voice becomes powerful. IRIB English Radio, the voice of the voiceless. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en.
Greetings, dear listeners, and a sincere thank you for joining us here on Iran Radio. We begin with another segment of radio productions. Next, we present Olema's speech. In this program, you'll hear excerpts from the original Farsi and Arabic lectures of esteemed Islamic and Shia scholars and authorities. Accompanied by English translation, it's a unique opportunity to hear directly from the scholars who shape our understanding of faith and practice. Then Radio Productions returns with more engaging content. Concluding this hour is Minbar. Up next is time for another segment of Radio Productions. Please stay with us.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
the Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
self-purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamate is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. We're welcome to another episode of the program Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short Farsi speech by Hujjatul Islam Qaraati. Please stay tuned.
انزلناه فی لیلة القدر. ما قرآن را در شب قدر نازل کردیم.
Indeed, we revealed the Holy Quran during the night of decree. We revealed the Quran during the night of decree, Laylatul Qadr. This verse says, we revealed it during a night. In Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 185, it states, we revealed it in the month of Ramadan. The month of Ramadan is that in which was revealed the Quran. If you place these two ayahs side by side, what happens? You see, farmers sometimes take two shears, cut two branches, graft them, and a different fruit emerges. Now, if I join these two ayahs together, what emerges? The Quran was revealed on the night of decree. The Quran was revealed in the month of Ramadan. Both are in the Quran. What does this mean? It becomes clear that the night of decree is within the month of Ramadan.
انزلناه یعنی دفعتن.
Anzallahu, we revealed it, implies a sudden single revelation or tanzil. Allama Tabatabai, in his famous exegesis of the Holy Quran, Al-Mizan, states, Anzallah means the entire Quran was revealed all at once, and tanzil means gradual, piece by piece. In the Quran, we both have inzal, sent down at once, and tanzil, sent down in stages. Once, the entire Quran was revealed upon the Prophet's heart during the night of decree, according to its capacity. And once, it was revealed gradually over 23 years on various occasions. It is like someone bringing you a bag of gifts. You might ask all at once, is this bag a gift? And then you open it all at once and ask, whose shirt is this? Whose pen is this? Whose shoes are these? Meaning, once the entire Quran was revealed to the Prophet's heart on the night of decree, and once it was revealed in pieces over 23 years on appropriate occasions. Thank you very much, dear listeners of iRib English Radio, for listening to the program.